And we want your comments. So send comments to us. And we are really trying to reach out and reach more people with the good news of the gospel. That's what it's all about. Our prayer line is you, Pastor Jim, Betty, and Shell. If people send in prayer requests, prayers@bohmglobal.com. I'll let you talk about that more in about 1 minute. And we got to do this first. That is a combination of Dave and Lola.
That's I was going to say, that sounds like Lola.
Yeah, Dave and Lola. It's pretty cool. So we are proud that we have five stations. This show right now is on five stations, 3 a.m. and 2 f.m. And the FM stations are fairly new, just the last few months, 106.1 FM in the Tampa Bay area, and in North Tampa Bay, which would be Hillsborough County, Wesley Chapel, Zephyr Hills, Dade City, 104.3 FM. And every weekend, we are on StarcomRadioNetwork.com at 10 a.m. This show will be on Saturday and Sunday. Okay, so, Betty, why do we have a prayer line? And then we'll ask PJ to comment on the prayer line, too, because you two and Shell are the ones who pick up all the prayer requests. Why is this so important?
Well, because God answers prayer.
Oh, yes.
Prayer is our is called, in my terminology up here in Indiana, is knee-mail. And when we kneel, God hears our prayer.
Yeah.
No matter how big or how small, yes, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And we have quite a few prayer warriors who actually go to the throne on your behalf. With no matter how small or how big the request is, it all matters to God. And it matters to us, too, that we can all pray for you. When you send in that request, we include in that a prayer that our prayer warriors, we all pray together, at whether it be at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, those needs are being met. According to his riches and glory of Christ in Christ Jesus. And it's so important that if you have a prayer request, please, please do not hesitate to send us a request to prayers@bohmglobal.com, and we will pick up that prayer request, whether it be myself, Pastor Jim, or Shell. We will type out a prayer and get it sent out as soon as we can. It's so important in these last few days that if you have a prayer request, we're willing to pray.
Oh, amen. And you know, one thing about this whole Facebook thing on Wednesday night that we've been doing is we've been hearing from a lot of our Beaconites that have moved across the country. And in the last couple days, there's been a lot of ministry to a couple of these that, and I thank God, because this is a way that they can connect and you can connect wherever you are in the globe. Facebook's there, so you can connect and know what we are teaching and take it for yourself. And you can also realize that there's a group of people right here in Clearwater, Florida, who, and many scattered around, like Betty and Megan and a bunch of people all over, that want to take your request to the throne of God, right, PJ?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, we're dedicated to doing that, like Betty said, because we know that God answers prayer. And I just wanted to add, when God answers your prayer, please let us know, because I do keep track of those. On Wednesday night, we keep a little book of prayer requests, praise reports, and we just had a whole flock of praise reports this past Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh. And we've got more. I can't wait to tell you some of the people that contacted me over this last Facebook post.
Praise God. And
unbelievable stuff God's doing.
And it's amazing. And but it's like I keep remembering the story of Samuel when, you know, when God helped the Israelites defeat the Philistines. He said, put a stone down here, because thus far, to this point, God has expanded our boundary. To this point, God has helped us. And I look at all those praise reports that we get back as little Ebenezer stones.
They are.
God has helped us here. God has helped us here. It's a reminder of God's faithfulness, not only to us, but to his own promises, to his own nature.
Absolutely. Amen. And a lot of people out there, some of you may want to be a part financially to get the gospel out. Kenneth Copeland used to teach this years ago. I was a partner with Kenneth Copeland for many years, and Kenneth Hagin and some of those ministries, Marilyn Hickey from days gone by. And even if you send a few dollars, it's going to go directly for the radio ministry. And that's what we put the money for. So just go to our webpage, which is www.bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage to donations. It'll open up a PayPal place. And you can give tithes and offerings. If you're not putting tithes in a regular church that you go to, give to this ministry, because we are giving the word out across the globe now more than ever, with 55 stations now on Starcom Radio across the United States and other countries, and also here with the global outreach right here that we're doing, and this whole Tampa Bay area. So it's a good place to sow your seed, financial seed. Go to bohmglobal.com, bottom of the front page, donations, hit that, it'll open PayPal, and you can know that your money is being used right here to pay these radio bills week after week. We don't talk about money hardly ever. God supplies, but we want you to have an opportunity to be blessed richly if you give to this ministry. You want to say more about that, Treasurer, Pastor Jim? And then we'll ask Betty before we go to this next song.
Again, it's planting seed. And
yes.
What I've seen God do so many times in my own life and in the church is we plant so we can reap a harvest. But, you know, you don't hoard it. You
right.
give it back out. You know, he gives seed for the sower and bread for the eater so that we can sow righteousness
yes.
and reap a harvest so that we can sow back even more. And God will bless.
I love writing checks. I love writing checks for the ministry,
well,
for the radio.
Well, you just keep writing them.
All right, I will. Praise God. Betty, did you have a comment on that before we go to this great
yes.
song by Chris Tomlin? Go ahead.
Yes. I think one of the things that we also need to remind our listening audience that if they want to be a part of the prayer team
right.
At BOHM, is to just send us a little note that says, hey, you know, please add me to the prayer. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be able to lift up the people of God. And
great.
Just send a small note and say, add me, and we will be glad to do that.
All right. Woo, good idea. Did you have something else, PJ?
Nope.
Another song I've been playing in my car all week from Chris Tomlin, because I got a new album of his. It's really an older album, but I like the songs on it, is I Will Rise. And boy, does that go along with the verses we read that Megan gave us about the dead will rise and come to new life. And listen to this song right now. I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. I've played it about 80 times this week in my car. I'm kidding, but a lot.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart. You are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb.
I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God.
Go to 2 Kings 8. Comment on that, Pastor Jim? Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I love that song.
I do too. It just tells us right where we need to be. We're going to rise and we just give Him glory and praise, because this life is temporary and it's not, we're not going to be here that long, relatively speaking. And then we are going to rise when He calls our name, and we are, Oh my, we're going to live with Him eternally. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 8 is a continuation of where we were last week on the show with Dr. Angel and Shell, talking about this woman whose son was given to her as a miracle through the ministry of Elisha, and then who died. This little boy died, or young man died, and God raised him back to life through the ministry of Elisha. If you missed last week's show, go here to the radio station, TantalkNetwork.com, and hit the tab for podcasts and go to last week, Living the Good Life last week, and you can hear that show. What a powerful, powerful show it was. 2 Kings chapter 8, same woman. Same woman. And there's a little gap in time here because it says that years before, Elisha had told the woman, this is chapter 8, verse 1 of 2 Kings, whose son he had brought back to life, same woman. He told her to leave here and go, you and your family, and live someplace else. God has ordered a famine in the land, and it will last for 7 years. Talk to me about this, PJ, as far as why did God tell Elisha to tell this woman that? Why was there a famine in the land? All of that.
Well, the famine was specifically for the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, who never had a good king.
Right.
And the king at this time was the son of Ahab and Jezebel.
Oh, yeah, that bad guy.
And, you know, he at least had some respect, as we find out a little bit later, for, you know, for Elisha and the school.
In this story,
the prophets,
yes, absolutely, yeah.
But the land itself, the people worship Baal and Melkart and Ishtar and all this other stuff. So that's why God, you know, God will use famine to turn nations to him. I mean,
we saw he used that, the prodigal son,
yes,
famine,
we
right?
We did.
Right.
And so now the Shunammite, however, was a believer, as
yes.
we found out earlier. You know, she recognized the ministry of Elisha. She even built a little house for him on top
right.
of her house, a little,
right.
little prophet's room for him up on top of her house. And, you know, he prophesied to her and said she'd have a son. And she said, yeah, right. Well, she had a son. Then the son died and through the ministry of Elisha was brought back to life. So, and she was a believer. And I was just reading yesterday about the plagues of Egypt and how God made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
God said, this isn't
yes.
going to happen in
yes.
Goshen where the Israelites live. And that's, you know, God protected this woman, the Shunammite,
right.
in the midst of this.
Right.
And so that's why Elisha went to her and said, okay, here's what's going to happen. Go.
Yeah.
And she did.
She obeyed, which is interesting that she obeyed and left, not knowing. But she believed Elisha, obviously, because, you know, his ministry had been tested with her, you
right.
know. Not only was she given a son, but then the son died and he was brought back to life through the ministry of Elisha. So she believed him, you know. And it's interesting here that she comes back at the end of that 7 years. She and her family lived in the land of Philistia for 7 years. And then when the 7 years were up, I'm in about verse 3 of 2 Kings 8, the woman and her family came back. Now, we're going to have here a very important sentence right here. Because the woman and her family came back, the land and her home had been taken over, I assume, by the government. Is that correct?
Very likely, because she abandoned it.
Right. Okay. So now she comes back, and she wants to have her land and her home restored. Let's talk for a second before we talk about what happened here, about so many of us that have had things happen in our lives where we've lost a lot, maybe financially, maybe a relationship, a marriage, whatever, maybe a home, whatever the case may be. And a lot of times when we have lost a lot, the human tendency is to become bitter. The human tendency is to think that God's done this to me to punish me. We talked about that whole concept 2 weeks ago on one of our Facebook posts. God does not have cancer. He does not do those things. He does not pour down awful things upon you. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Yes, hard times can test us and teach us and cause us to learn to trust God. But God is not putting bad things on you, dear ones. Talk to me about that, Betty, before we see what happened to her when she came back after 7 years.
Well, you know, we've all experienced loss of some kind in our lives, like we have reiterated. But I think one of the things that stands true is God's grace and his mercy.
Amen.
That's the song you played. Excuse me, the song that you played of "Rise Up on Eagle's Wings" is
yeah.
that he's trying to, if we are obedient,
yes,
that all good things do come from above,
right?
And it's our trust in him,
yes,
that tested because, and it was tested through this woman, through the holy man, as they
right.
called him. It comes down to saying, okay, God, I'm fighting with everything that is within me.
Right.
To believe in you, to trust in you, and we have to stand firm in our faith.
Yes, we do.
Please, that he will bring us through.
Right.
Now, we as Christians want it now.
Right. yeah, we do.
This time, this is the timing thing, is that all things work together for good who love the Lord.
Right.
That is true. But we also have to remember God has God's will be done.
Right, exactly.
Hardest prayer that you will ever pray in the midst of a storm or in the midst of what you're going through is, God, not my will be done, but yours.
Exactly. And yep.
That's where the trust comes in. That's where our faith comes in. And that's where he will hold us and hold us with his righteous right hand. He will hold us up. We may not see it. I mean, there are some, we were talking about prayers. There's prayers that were answered in 20 minutes over the last few weeks. There are prayers that were answered from months and months and months and months of concentrated prayer.
Right.
That, again, in God's timing. And sometimes, and I know it's hard to understand, you both correct me if I'm wrong, that we may not see it here, but when we get to heaven, great is our reward.
Right. Right.
Good done, my faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. You stood firm. You fought the good fight. You kept moving forward to advance my kingdom.
Right.
Now, This is what you did for my kingdom. And that's where the blessings and the tears and the emotions, the depression, the oppression, all go away once we realize that God is the omnipotent power over us, and we have to, and it's hard. It's hard, guys. It's hard for me to relinquish what I think I can handle on my own.
Yeah. Right.
God's to give it to you. I'm going to surrender. Again, another one of those surrender moments. I got to give it to you because I can't carry it any longer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Show faith through honor that and, we ask.
Well, and you're right. And when we realize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God, and we realize that all things work together for good to those who love God, it's easier to trust him. Go ahead, PJ. You wanted to comment on what Betty was saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking of the famine aspect of it. And,
right.
And in Joel chapter 2,
right.
God, you saw me flipping through my Bible, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Well, I've been in Joel 2 last couple of days. I was
and,
feeling that too.
You know, he first chapter talks about all the judgments
right.
of God. And but then in chapter 2, you know, starting in verse 21, do not fear, O land, rejoice and be glad,
yes.
for the Lord has done great thing. Then in verse 23, so rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain. The early and the latter rain is before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with
Woo!
New wine and oil. And I will make up for you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten.
Oh, boy.
The creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the gnawing locusts.
All the locusts.
Yeah. He said, I'll make it up to you.
Whoa.
And, you know, and he does. Like I mentioned earlier with Isaac.
Right.
Now, when it came time a generation later with Jacob and his sons, they did go to Egypt, but God took care of them there.
Exactly.
And then he brought them back to the land.
Yes.
And took care of them there. It's just when they were disobedient, again, that, I mean, it wasn't just Elisha when, you know, Elijah, who was Elisha's mentor, he stopped it from raining in Israel.
Right.
For 3.5 years. Now, that must have created quite a panic.
And when all these things happen in our lives where there's panic, we got to remember that he's our deliverer. And I got to play this song, Selah. I call it Selah. Is it Selah or Selah?
I say Selah.
I do too. You deliver me. Love it. One of my favorite songs. It's a wonder I don't play this every single week. Ha ha. I might.
Right as a rain, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plain. It's taking me to places I never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel like I can't go on,
Amen.
When the road is winding way too long, you deliver me. You deliver me. Yeah. Ooh. I feel like a sinner. Sins have been washed clean. An absolute beginner whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven. Sometimes asking why I was chosen to be given you in this life. When I feel like
with it. You deliver me when the road seems too long, when it feels like I can't go on, when it seems like everything's stacked against me. You deliver me. This woman in 2 Kings chapter 8 was standing in line to talk to the king. 2 Kings chapter 8. And the king was having a conversation with the servant of Elisha, Gehazi. And we are in verse 4 of 2 Kings 8. And the king said to Gehazi, now this is no coincidence. This is a right on planned, ordained by God, what we call around here a kairos moment. In the original Greek, that means an opportune time for God to act. Right now, this was a strategic moment, a planned moment. By God, not by these people. And the king said to Gehazi, tell me some stories of the great things Elisha did. So, as he was telling the story to the king of the dead person brought back to life, the woman whose son was brought to life showed up asking for her home and farm. Now, the sentence we didn't read at the end of verse 3 was, she went directly to the king and asked for her home and farm. She did not sit around in self-pity. She went straight to the king and asked for the blessing. Talk to me, Pastor Jim. Love it. Not a coincidence.
No, it was not a coincidence.
Divine appointment.
And, you know, it just so happened that Jehoram was there talking with Elisha.
Yeah.
And
you mean Gehazi?
Talking with Gehazi, and I just think it's amazing, first of all, that the king even wanted to hear about Elisha.
Right, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, praise God, though.
Yeah.
And it's apparently he happened to be in Shunem at the time, hearing cases, which was kind of nice. I mean,
it's God's opportune moment.
It's God's opportune moment. There's no way around it. And for whatever reason, he wanted to hear about Elisha.
Yeah.
And so Gehazi's telling him.
Right.
And he gets, just by coincidence, of course, gets up to the part about the widow, the Shunammite widow's son, who Elisha raised from the dead. And amazingly, guess who just happens to be standing there at that moment?
Next in line.
Is the woman. And Gehazi says, oh, look, here's the woman. Here's the woman herself.
This is so cool. I love this story.
And then, the king says, really? And she tells him the story.
And the king says, tell me what happened. And it was exactly the way Gehazi
told. Back up what Elisha said, or what Gehazi said about Elisha.
Oh, so, I love this.
And he was so impressed that he gave her everything back.
Yes.
Including all the, apparently the way it reads here, restore in verse 6, restore all that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day she left even until now.
Oh my, what does that say about our God? In Joel 2, the God of restoration,
yes.
Right?
What had been taken away by the famine?
Yes.
She got everything back.
Oh my, oh my. Betty, you got to comment on this, don't you? Isn't this a great story? Isn't this great? Love it.
Well, again, it comes down to that Kairos moment.
Yeah.
That the Lord was intertwined in between and amongst all of this. But again, guys, it goes back to obedience, and it comes back to God blesses those who obey him and follow his ways. And even back in the Old Testament, God is so intertwined in this that, when you read the story, you think, that couldn't happen. Yes, it could, because God was involved. And when we get the Lord involved in our life, there's nothing that he can't do.
Mm-hmm. That's
nothing.
Exactly
there
right.
Absolutely mm-hmm. nothing that he cannot do. And this woman got blessed beyond every means she could possibly think of, just because I think she was totally sold out. She was obedient. And she got what she deserved because she was obedient.
Oh, my heavens.
God said so. God said it.
Well,
and here it is.
Well, remember,
I'm so amazed at the timing. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, remember, too, this is the lady who, when her son was dead,
right,
said, it's well. Mm-hmm. It is well.
It is well with my soul.
She said, it's well.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't going to.
She didn't talk negative.
Right. She didn't talk negative. She just.
It's because she believed.
Right.
She believed that God could do this.
And I think she just. She repeated it.
Yeah.
And when you think about the story of the woman with the issue of blood, literally in the Greek, it's she kept saying to herself.
Right.
Kept on saying, if I touch the hem of his garment, if I touch the fringe, I'll be healed.
Exactly.
And she wasn't letting anything negative come in. And so often, it's like, I know how I am. If I have to pray God put a watch over my mouth, because I can say some, things that are negative. If we just watch what we say.
Yes, we got to watch it.
And keep it, it is well.
Yeah.
Then we'll see those blessings.
That's why confessions and affirmations are so important. I have daily things that I say that, and they're scripture that I declare over myself, over my real estate business, over our ministry, Beacon of Hope, and declaring those on a daily basis of who I am and what God is and what he's going to do on my behalf gets my mind out of worry and fear when there's a lack of funds or whatever. It's that, and this woman was a perfect example of this. And it's interesting to me that she goes boldly to the king and says, I want my land and my farm back. I want it all back. I want my house back. I want it all back. And she didn't even ask for all the profits and all the money that had been made off of the land for 7 years. She didn't even ask for that.
But she got it.
Talk to me about that, Betty. Talk to me about that.
Oh.
Woo!
God to bring up this teaching that this pastor taught back in October.
Oh, would that have been me at that revival in Indiana?
That might have been you. The problem, the promise, and the provision, or the resolution.
Yeah.
It's still, I don't know why that, you know, of all the sermons that I have sat under and heard coming from you, and Pastor Jim, for that matter, is that God is faithful.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. He is faithful.
That, you know, he gives us the goodness and the grace, and his glory always shines through.
Yeah.
No matter what the circumstances that we're in. And I believe that this lady in 2 Kings was full of faith.
Yeah, yeah.
That she, what I think Cindy had brought up many months ago, was she was faithed up.
Faithed up.
That she believed in her heart that if Elisha had told her what to do because of what had happened with her previously with her son, if he said it, then it's true because he is a man of God. But again, God was so prominent in this scripture right here, and that when she came back, with boldness.
That boldness, yes, yes.
To be able to, and we can have that boldness when we go before our King.
Amen.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we say, okay, Lord, I know I've got this problem, thank you. I am going to trust you and believe in you. This is my promise that you have told me.
Right.
Is that you're going to restore my land. You're going to restore the farm that I have. You're going to restore my income. And that provision was met through the prayers of that lady and through her faith that she had in God. And to trust that when she went boldly, she had to have the faith and the belief to believe that this is going to happen. So that we have that same provision given to us, is to be able to go to our King and be able to say, okay, God, this is what I need. This is, always give me the desires of my heart.
You're right.
And I believe by faith that lady was restored everything and maybe more than what she could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah, prophets.
Because God was there. God was there.
You are so right. Hebrews 4:16, I'm looking at it in the NIV. And we think Paul wrote Hebrews, but whichever, doesn't really matter. It's inspired by God. Let us then approach the throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This was her time of need. She and her son had moved back home, and they did not have their house and their land, and she had to go to the throne of grace with confidence to receive help. Pastor Jim.
Well, yeah, I was reading this earlier today, and I backed it up to verse 14, because here's the reason we can come boldly to the throne. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who's passed through the heavenlies,
amen,
Jesus, the Son of God,
yes,
let us hold fast our confession.
Amen.
Let us hold fast our confession.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier about her saying it is well and the woman with the issue of blood. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin.
Oh, I love it.
Therefore, let us draw near with confidence. It's not as though Jesus was never tempted. He just never sinned.
Exactly.
So he knows what it's like to go through temptation.
Right.
And when he was on the cross, he took all those sins on himself. So therefore, he is our high priest.
Amen.
He knows what it's like to be human. I think sometimes we have this picture of Jesus as just all God, and yes, he is fully God, but he's also fully human,
right?
And it's important to remember that part of it.
Absolutely.
Because that way He knows what it's like to be bound by our flesh.
He was here. He lived it.
Therefore, we can draw near to the with confidence to the throne of grace. We don't have to come cringing.
Right.
I mean, there should be, yeah, holy fear, but with confidence, because we know we're going to get what we ask when we approach
Absolutely.
That throne, so that we can receive mercy and find grace. It doesn't say so that we can, you know, find anger and
right.
judgment.
No.
It's mercy and grace we
mercy
go to the
and
throne
grace.
For.
It's what it's all about. And so with that in mind, look what the woman did. She went boldly to the king, knowing that she deserved this based on grace and mercy. Not because she had just stayed there and worked the land, but because she was drawing on the mercy and grace and favor of the king. And it so happened the king's heart was ready because he was just then hearing the story about the woman whose son was raised back to life through the ministry of Elisha, was sitting there listening to the story, and there she is, the next in line. I've got a powerful song to play here in just a minute. Betty, your comment to any of that?
Well, I think that, you know, even kings that sat on thrones were moved by God.
Oh, yeah.
And his mighty power. And how his mighty power can be seen through Elisha. And it still happens today, of the power of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead and lived in us. And again, I just, it's in awe. I mean, of the things that you, both of you have talked about today has turned on a light for me.
Praise
God. To realize that it's so important to be able to see things through God's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to be a little emotional here for just a second. But when we see things through God's eyes, maybe we wouldn't be so judgmental of people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we walked in their shoes for just a little bit, we would understand what they're going through. And I think that this is just my opinion. I don't base it on scripture or whatever. But I believe that, you know, even though that king sat on that throne, that he was moved.
Oh, yeah, he was.
By the testimony.
Oh, he was. Yes.
He had
raised,
to be.
You know, he did what? You know, he raised your son from the dead?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean that could be an aha moment.
Yeah, it was an aha moment. Yeah.
And I think that kings are still moved today.
Right.
By what God can do.
Absolutely. Oh, my. So it's in the presence of Jehovah. Oh, here we go. Worship God with us right now. Worship him and tell him what your needs are. He wants to bless you right now.
Vanish. tonight here in His presence, I want to let you know, no matter how big your problem, troubles vanish, broken hearts are mended. You'll find your answer
in the presence,
only in the presence
of the King.
Come right now
in the
presence
with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You. We are amazed at Your presence in our lives. We are blessed by the way You continually meet our needs. We love the way You love us, God. We love the way You meet us in our times of testing and our times of struggles. You're always there, God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You have promised to always be with us, and You are. And so, Lord, when we come into Your presence, we know that You are there. We know that You are going to meet us and that You are going to bind our wounds and heal our hearts and bring us up from that place of despair and maybe that place of anguish and pain. And Lord, we just thank You that we can come boldly to Your presence, just like this woman did in 2 Kings 8. We can come boldly to You, and You will restore what the worm has eaten, what the devil has tried to take from us. You will restore the blessings that are ours. You will bring us peace. You will bring us joy. You will restore us to Your family like the prodigal son that we talked about today. You will cleanse us with Your amazing blood and give us that robe of righteousness, and You will give us those sandals of peace, and we can walk every day knowing that we're Your kids, You're our Father God, and that You love us. And we are Yours, and You are ours. We thank you for all of this. Bless every listener scattered around the globe in all these, all coming from all these radio stations now and different places locally and globally. Lord, let one soul, let more than one be touched by your presence today from this show. Let them draw near to you and come boldly to your throne of grace to receive the help they need. We give you glory and praise for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. Whoa, Pastor Jim, take it. Wow.
The key here is, like the prodigal, who knew he had a need that only his father could meet.
Right.
Like the woman who was obedient and came back and dared out of boldness to go before the king. You know, we are called to that same sort of boldness. We're called to that same mission to come before God when we have those needs.
That's exactly
right. I mean, he's provided Jesus to open the way to the very throne of God so that we can come boldly.
Amen.
We can come before his presence and get our needs met. And I know on Wednesday nights when we praise God,
yes,
we get drawn into his presence.
Yes.
And
oh,
you know, ministry happens right
then
and there.
That's right. Yes. He ministers to us.
And it's a miraculous thing.
Oh. And just like right now, the presence of the Lord has been so strong through this entire show. God wants to touch some of our listeners in wherever they are around this globe. God's got a blessing for you. He's got many blessings for you if you'll come boldly to him, just like this woman did, just like this prodigal son did.
And the amazing thing is, with the son, the father had already forgiven him.
Right.
Because he was out there watching every day for that son to come home. And I just read, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God, to paraphrase the last part of that, God's not mad at us anymore.
Right.
He provided Jesus to bring us, to reconcile us to himself. So he's not mad at us anymore. He longs for us to come back.
That's exactly right.
He longs for us. I mean, Paul said, we're making this message as if we're appealing. Be reconciled to God.
Right.
He's not mad at you anymore.
He's not mad.
No matter what you have done, what you think you've done, who you think you are.
Right.
He's not mad at you.
He's not
mad. He longs to be in fellowship with you through Jesus.
Amen. And it's so easy too, just like the son went back and said, forgive me, I was wrong, whatever. The woman didn't have that situation, but she went boldly knowing that God would hear her, the king would hear her prayers.
Absolutely.
God, you know, it's that boldness and confident access of Ephesians 3:12, that we have boldness and confident access to him. I love that, confident access. Betty, talk to us. We're wrapping it up here. So a couple minutes. Betty, you got a couple minutes.
I got a couple minutes, okay. As you were praying, the Lord led me to Hebrews 12,
right,
verses 1. This is the Message Bible, so
right.
I think it may be 1 through 3. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it.
Woo!
Strip down, start running, and never quit.
Amen.
Now listen to this. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in.
Amen.
Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed.
Right.
That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline.
I love that. I was reading those verses today, Betty. This is great. Yeah, those are great. And that's just saying, you know, let's remember what Jesus did, right? And how important it is that we grab a hold of that gift that he had, that he gave us.
And push on.
Right.
Push on.
push on. And that's this whole series, Going the Distance. That's what it's all about. And the best way to be able to go the distance is learn that you're all about your Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at right now in this series. Learn about His grace, His mercy, His kindness. Learn about the fact that we are surrounded with this cloud of witnesses. And there's so much that God wants to do in our lives and bless us, and we just have to receive it. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that, Betty? And you've been great today, as always, my dear.
No, I just think that, you know, we do have a race to win.
Right.
And we can do that as our big drink is Jesus Christ, because He's going to get us through no matter what you're going through.
Right.
He's going to see you through.
Amen. He certainly is. And He wants to bless us. That's the point.
Amen.
Here today.
Amen.
With the father of the prodigal and with the king for the woman. God wants to restore you. God wants to bless you. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that says God's mad at you and that He wants to hurt you in some way, because that's not true. PJ, final words. Thank you, Betty. You're great. Love you. See you soon.
What else can I say? I mean, just God invites us to come,
yes,
to Him, and invites us to ask for the blessings.
Amen.
We just have to believe that, do what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
And come boldly.
Yes.
And I love that. To come boldly before the throne of grace.
Right.
Wow.
Yes.
It's not a throne of judgment.
No.
It's a throne of grace.
It's a throne
grace.
Of grace. Come boldly.
So no matter who
throne.
You are, come to Him.
You know,
receive His grace.
Oh, absolutely. And it was even in that last song, in the presence of Jehovah, come boldly.
Mm-hmm.
Come boldly to Him. And that's what, you know, that'll enable you to go the distance, no matter how long we are in this race before Jesus comes and gets us, or before we die in His arms, you know?
Right. And, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. If don't come boldly.
Come boldly.
I don't know how much more to stress that. Ask, and
yes,
it will be given unto you.
Yes,
seek,
amen,
and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened.
Keep on asking. Keep on seeking.
Keep on knocking. Just
that's it.
Come boldly and keep doing that.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Betty, our dear prayer team leader, and so much going on in both of your lives as you minister to so many. And thank you both for spending this time with us today on Living the Good Life, part of our radio team. And we encourage you to go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. Find out more about the ministry of Beacon of Hope. And we encourage you to use our prayer line anytime, 24/7, 365. Send your prayer requests by email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Check us out Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, right at 7:30, live on Facebook. That's our habit now at Bible study, for about 10 or 12 minutes. You can spare 10 or 12 minutes for the Word of God, can't you? So this Wednesday night and every Wednesday night, right at 7:30, go to my page or Beacon of Hope Ministries on Facebook. And God bless you. Be blessed this week. Go boldly to the throne of grace for all of your needs. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim, and Betty Thomas bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week. We're going to see you back right here next Sunday at this time. Same place. God bless you. It's not far.